Live from the Blood Museum in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour 2026. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred, hard-hitting discussion about the exciting and all-too-dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling, and occasionally other topics of general interest. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a sore loser if ever there was one, Richard J. Ringhausen, and welcoming special guest, singer, dancer, actor, amateur herpetologist, and longtime bridge tender for the state of Illinois, a man with Ringhausen blood coursing through his veins, Gregory J. Johnson.
Are you ready?
And marksman, sculptor, daredevil, the seven-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, the man who taught John Travolta how to dance, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers and the star of your show, Alan J. Ringhausen.
Yeah. Woo!
Yeah. Hello, everybody.
Welcome back, Johnson.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, comment.
Last break. Thank you. That last break, previous break when we were off the air, but the audience was there.
Yeah.
They were still here. And I liked when they were chanting, Allie. Ali. Okay. Don't have to do it right now.
Just like Muhammad Ali.
Yes. All right. Can I ask a question, Rick?
Yeah.
Have you ever, and I don't know how many episodes we've had, over 100, have you ever used a song, an intro that is less than 25 years old?
Well, I'm pretty much using ones that are 100 years old right now to avoid the copyright laws.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Stuff that's in public domain.
You could...
But every 1920 song sounds like it came from the Little Rascals.
Yeah, you could use Larry and the Clunks music. That's all original. That's...
Yeah, we own the copyright to that. If I had some instrumental versions of them.
Why do you have to have instrumental?
Because if the singing's on, it'll distract from what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
Oh, people listen to that?
Good point. Touche.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
He doesn't like it.
Did you notice there were a couple of blood references in the opening?
I did.
A couple of them. Johnson, over the years, you've been a big proponent of blood donating. Is that blood donating?
That's correct.
I mean, truly, is an altruistic thing you actually do. That's not a big lie.
Thank you.
And have you ever actually donated blood?
Wait a minute. You didn't say, that's correct, Rick. You just said,
I just said thank you. Right. I am one donation short of 11 gallons currently.
You've given 11 gallons of blood.
Almost. You've given 11 gallons of blood.
How much are you giving at a time, quart?
A pint.
One pint at a time.
So that's 8 to a gallon.
If you went in and said, I'd like to give a second pint. I want to do a quart. I'm a big guy. I can handle it.
Well, I'll tell you what they can do.
What's the most they can take out of you?
They can only take one. However, if you give what they call power reds, you get on a machine, and they pull your blood out, and they separate the red blood cells from the platelets and the plasma. They put the platelets and the plasma back into your body.
This is getting way too complicated. I'm already starting to lose interest.
And it counts as two donations because they can get enough out that they can do... two donations worth it.
Have you done that?
Yes. Only certain blood types and body types can do that. So you gotta be a bigger...
An athlete like you.
Yeah. An athlete, correct.
Have you played
baseball.
Have you ever fainted? Chest. Ever passed out? Gotten woozy? Any of those? Throw up?
No.
Has anyone? Have you been at one of those where people passed out?
Right, but that would be violating HIPAA rules, so I would...
I didn't ask you to say who it is.
Oh, yeah, then it's definitely happened.
So who was it?
HIPAA rules. Have you ever given blood, Rick?
Yes, I have. My father-in-law was having some horrifying operation. You know, he's an old man and had a bunch of them. But he needed to have blood donated because they were short. And I had his type. So my father-in-law has had my blood coursing to him also.
But you were his only option? What, were they operating in his garage? You were the only one there?
I assume there were other people that donated also. But I donated blood. Yes, I have donated blood. Have you?
Yeah. I've
given. Ever?
Yes.
More than once?
Yes.
Well, really?
Yeah. Huh.
It does scare you.
I can remember this one time. We were out pruning out in the orchards, me and Dennis and Larry Klunk. And Larry and I had gone out the night before and really tied one on. I mean, we were struggling, right? And and decided, well, let's go give our blood and see if it gets rejected. Right, so we go over to the Casey Hall in Hardin, and Larry decides
this
again,
is where you do it, isn't it?
Yeah,
and he
probably was Dad's drive.
He's going to test the limits of donating blood because you know they say, all right, you know, as soon as you get done, don't drink any alcoholic beverages, don't smoke, you know, all these different things. And it's at the Casey Hall.
Wait. Kids, don't try this at home.
I'm not telling other people to do it. I'm just telling what happened. Okay? Right.
He immediately went to the bar and got a beer.
He finished, got off the table and walked to the bar, chugs a beer, and lights up a cigarette. And he doesn't even smoke. He said, I don't feel anything. He said, if it's true, I should be able to get drunk a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it wouldn't take as much.
Yeah, so instead of drinking 24 beers, he could get drunk on like 22.
Kids, don't try this at home.
No.
They specifically say don't do that, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what do you do with blood? Does it go in like a big tank, like a tanker truck, like they haul milk in?
No, they're in individual packets. They put them in a box.
Just pour it into a barrel, Rick.
Well, don't mix it all up.
A stainless steel one. You have to keep different types separate, right?
Not just that. Every donation stays separate because you at any point.
They test it.
Yeah. And at any point, you can decide you don't want your blood to be used and
they'll give it back?
They'll destroy it.
I can't have it back.
But let's say you went in there and you donate blood and you're walking away and say, oh, sorry, Mr. Ringhausen, we can't take your blood because you have AIDS.
Yeah.
They don't announce that across the room, do they?
They don't test it at the drive.
Mr. Ringhausen, there's something wrong with your blood.
So they're not doing it.
Mr. Ringhausen, we believe you're an alien.
I could be the most disease-ridden human coming in, and you're going to take my blood, and they might reject it down the road someplace.
Right.
But you'll take it.
So they don't publicly announce it across the room as you're walking out.
But you have
out.
To answer all those questions. That would.
Alan walks in, and they go, oh, my God, it's Alan Ringhausen.
Nobody's going to take his blood. Nobody wants his.
Do something about this.
That guy's somebody right with that guy.
Won't be like,
what if I took his blood and I became like him?
It won't be like Kramer on Seinfeld where he's carrying it around in a, cooler?
No. Nothing like that.
Unless you take it yourself.
What do you mean, take it yourself? You can drink it back?
No, I mean, draw your own blood.
Draw your own blood, deliver it to the hospital?
No.
I'm making a donation.
No, draw your own blood. I'm talking about draw your own blood and keep it in your fridge in case you need it.
Oh, to put it back in.
You know, you've been injured and cut as many
times as anybody. In case there's an apocalypse.
Yes.
What's the shelf life on that?
I don't know. That's going to ask you. You're the expert. Aren't you the blood expert?
Not on storing it.
Hematologist?
That's herpetologist.
Huh. It's phlebotologist.
Phlebotomy.
Phlebotomist. Phlebotomy.
Okay, I
no,
looked
that's
up.
What, that's dogs that have
I looked up, what do you call people who collect famous people's blood? And they said there is no word for that.
Is
Didn't
that a
Billy
thing?
Bob have a vial of Angelina Jolie's
blood? Well, they
blood
had each other's.
Yeah,
they had each
right.
other's.
They ate each other's, that's right.
Who set them up with that? Is that sort of thing you can go online and get just order up? I got a little blood of Suzanne. I would like to wear it in a vial around my neck.
You don't want Angelina Jolie's? Is she too good for you? What's going on with that?
I'm faithful.
Answer the question, Rick.
I'm a faithful husband.
Now, if you had a vial of your wife's blood.
Don't want Billy Bob Thornton's either.
Are you going to tell her that you took it while she was asleep or what?
Yeah, like, was that an episode of MASH? Didn't they take blood from
Frank,
yeah. while he was asleep?
Yes. I think I'd know that.
I think I would, too. I don't think I could sleep through somebody taking my blood.
What do we get for snacks when you give blood nowadays? Yeah.
Raisins.
Orange juice.
Raisins?
Raisins, Cheez-Its, there's some cookies.
You don't have Ho-Hos and Ding-Dongs?
No. Those like Oreos.
What about beer and cigarettes?
No.
That's the other side of the building where they...
Okay. You can't even get a cigarette in there anymore. Probably,
back
you
in the day,
smoke it in there.
Back in the day, James A. would make his world-famous cookies and bring them down there, and people would come down just for that.
Would you make him donate blood to get one?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I had to attempt, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what's the rare blood? What's the biggie?
Rarest, I think, is AB negative, but the universal donor is O neg.
Yeah.
So anybody can take that.
Right, but I mean,
I'm O pos.
If you're nice. If A plus.
You're A plus?
You got it. Just like my grades. Just like my character. Just like my looks and body. Go ahead.
Should have worn my boots.
God.
Here, Johnson, do a commercial.
I'd love to. Today's episode of the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Premier Blood Sausage. Tired of the low-grade, tasteless blood sausage you've been getting at the big box stores? Do you roll your eyes when your wife brings out a plate of imitation blood sausage shipped from the frozen from Vietnam or China? Well, suffer no more. Just reach for a package of Uncle Den's Premier Blood Sausage. Fresh cooked and seasoned to perfection, using the secret Ringhausen family blood sausage recipe, your mouth will begin to water as soon as you hear it sizzling in your frying pan. And unlike generic blood sausage, which uses blood of pigs or sheep or cows, Uncle Den's doesn't. So, get yours today, Uncle Den's Premium Blood Sausage.
Mm-mm.
That sounds good.
What's the most blood you've ever lost?
Like in quantity?
Yeah.
One pint.
No, we don't mean giving it.
I'm not trying to donate it. It's like, just coming out uncontrolled.
Like an accident.
Oh, I don't know. Not much.
Like when you're shaving. Well, back when you used to shave.
I stepped on a piece of glass at the swimming pool in Jerseyville.
Oh, that bleeds. Yeah. When you step on a piece of glass, it really bleeds.
Yeah, it does. Was it still in there? You had to pull it out? Or?
No, we pulled it out.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to get stitched up.
Yeah?
Went to a pool party in Jerseyville, and somebody broke in a glass bottle.
Who broke the glass?
Broke in a glass beer bottle and left it in the grass.
And left it in the grass.
Yeah, I was an idiot 9-year-old that stepped on it, though, so.
What about you? Most blood.
Whew. Ah, gosh.
I guess I didn't quantify it, though, did I?
No, not really.
Oh, man, I don't know.
You know, if you spill it, it really spreads out.
Yeah.
It makes a mess.
You take a shot glass full of beer and throw it on the floor. Oh, my God. That's a lot of blood.
Right.
It's really not that much.
It's shot glass full, but it looks bad.
Yeah.
Like a head wound.
Oh, head wound, man. Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, that will really bleed.
You know, we were...
you get a nosebleed, it'll just keep bleeding, too.
We were at...
Yeah, I have a friend that has nosebleeds.
Growing up, the kid in our class that had nosebleeds all the time was Tiny Gettin. Okay, stop. You know, you'd be playing some game or whatever. Stop, I got a nosebleed. Like, why do we have to stop? It's our noses aren't bleeding.
What happened to the HIPAA rules?
Tiny Gettin?
Nosebleeder.
Everybody knows he had nosebleeds. Of course, his nose got there before our noses got there, too.
Yeah, that's true.
He was most likely to bump a nose. And then Greg Ringhausen came along.
Yeah. I knew Greg was getting brought into this. I knew it. Poor guy's not even here to defend
himself. I hope that he never... Well, he couldn't have been the class nosebleeder in his class, or he'd be dead.
I think Greg was a blood donor, though.
Through his nose?
No.
Through
his altruism.
Lean over this glass, Greg. Somebody strike him.
Now, do you ever go to school? Can you go squeeze blood out of kids at school?
Yes.
You have to be a certain age.
You have to be 18, don't you?
You got to be 17 with a parent, maybe 16 with a parent's permission, or 17 on your own.
So you can go up to the high school and say, line up, kids.
Who wants to give? Who wants to get out of class today? All you got to do is give a pint of blood.
So when I was a freshman, I was 13, and they didn't ask for ID back then. I lied and said I was 16. So I gave every year. I just changed my birth year.
That's the same way you got in the Army.
That's how I got out of the Army. No, that was a dress.
Section 8.
Song and dance.
Got go ahead. Well,
go ahead. Go ahead with your high school story.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's it. I just got... I've got four donations. Or,
so did you get punished?
I got eight Those donations don't that didn't count because, yeah, I was a different person then, technically.
So you're actually a little heavier than 11 gallons.
I guess so, yeah.
A little heavier than 11 gallons. 11 gallons would be 88 pounds, right?
Yeah. That's water. I don't know if blood weighs the same as water.
I'll bet blood's a little heavier than water.
Pints pound world round. I don't care what pounds it is. World.
In volume, that's correct. Think about 11 gallons. If you had 2 5-gallon buckets full of blood, you'd still have another gallon.
Yeah. How much blood's in a human body? How much?
About 8 quarts.
Is it 8? I was going to say 5, but I think that's wrong.
Yeah, I'd say you're wrong.
7 or 8, maybe.
8. It's 8 quarts.
Is it? Did you already look it up?
No, I did not.
Look it up.
I'm looking it up.
Go to artificial intelligence.
And ask Dr. Ferd how much blood's in the human body.
8 to 12 pints.
Pints, not quarts. You said quarts.
Yeah, but I meant pints.
Okay. He meant pints. I don't want to stick up for him, but gosh darn it.
Because you give in pints. Right. That's what I meant, right. Obviously.
Right.
Obviously.
Apparently, there are people who hoard their own blood and keep it in their own refrigerator.
You can do that.
I'm not saying it can physically be done.
How do you know that then?
Because I looked it up. I looked it up.
Because you saw it on Seinfeld.
I read your book.
You're a magnificent bastard.
Yeah. Craig?
42 days.
Craig, what movie were we referencing?
I was looking up how long you could store blood in a fridge, and it's 42 days.
Can't you do two things at the same time?
I cannot.
I read your book.
That Ringhausen blood hasn't done you any good then, has it? No, it must have been what you donated the first time. Got rid of it.
I'm trying to think, how much blood do you have to lose before you lose consciousness? Half of what you got?
Well, you go in shock.
Well, okay, that's what I'm asking. What percentage of your blood do you have to lose before you can't function anymore?
A third.
I would say that's what I was going to say, was a third. So and if you've got 1.2 to 1.5 gallons in your body, I would say if you lost half a gallon.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be rough.
So if I look down at the floor or in the toilet and there's about a gallon of blood or half a gallon of blood, I should be concerned.
Yes.
I don't even know how to hardly respond to that one. Wow, do you have this is a problem a lot?
No, but I think that once you're to the point blood that yeah then you're probably concerned. And it, yeah.
I don't think I have to dump out a gallon of it to be concerned.
This thing just went off the rails.
Okay. Should I maybe it'll correct itself. I'm going to wait another day.
You know, I find that blood coming out of the human body is the sort of thing that most people don't use. I'll wait another day in their sentence when there's much blood coming
out. I think
it'll
slow down. It'll clot up. This cut on my arm will clot up and I'll be okay.
How come every time I pull a Q-tip out of my ear, it's soaking with blood?
You're pushing too much. Are you pulling it out the other side? Jesus. Stop. Did you see that movie Gladiator where who is the main actor from Gladiator?
Russell Crowe.
And they're hauling him across the desert on a wagon and he's got that big cut on his arm and he looks over at one point and you can see the maggots crawling around in the cut because it stopped bleeding. Are you still concerned?
I would be, yeah.
Well, the maggots are actually helping it heal.
They
right?
were cleaning it.
Yeah.
Cleaning the wound.
Yeah. They do say that there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I mean, it's gross.
It's pretty gross.
So
right,
you're laying in the hospital, and you wake up from surgery, and there are maggots in the incision.
Well, they probably don't do it.
You're not going to press the button and, nurse.
I guess the question is.
Question. If it was like the 1700s, you might go, well, you know, you wake up and you got leeches all over you.
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing.
It was a thing. Because
if it's post-apocalypse, I would assume that maggots in the wound is fine.
There you go. And see, you were worried about bringing a first aid kit.
It's all natural.
You get maggots anywhere.
That was the last episode. Have you opened the refrigerator lately?
Probably could have opened a book and saw that maggots would fix that.
What you got here? You got some jars of blood and what's in here? Oh, maggots. Okay. Looks like you're ready for the apocalypse.
Got my first aid kit all packed up and ready to go.
Judge, you're sick. Oh, and here's some canned meat. Huh, you're ready to go.
And some Ringhausen blood sausage. Have you ever eaten blood sausage?
No.
Alan?
Yes.
Not for me, have man. You for real?
I have absolutely had blood sausage. I was in London, England, and I had me some blood sausage.
Really? How was it?
It was wonderful.
Really? They say it's kind of like a...
It's a very rich...
They say it's got like a pudding...
Wait a minute.
Like a pudding texture.
That was
texture.
In France.
Like a pudding texture.
I don't know if it's puddingy, but it's like a real kind of dense, dryish sausage.
So you saw that on the menu and said, bring me some blood sausage.
Blood sausage? I want that.
I had fish and chips when I was in Britain. I wasn't going to go too far outside of my comfort zone.
You didn't have bangers and mash?
Bangers and mash? No. We both got to say at the same time.
Yeah. I love bangers and mash. It was great. I thought England, you know, was like, okay, I'm going to suffer through going to England.
And eat delicious food in France and Italy.
England's food was wonderful. I loved it. Of course, you know, if you eat it every, same thing every day your entire life, which the Britons do, it'd get old after a while, I'm sure.
Like haggis. Them Scots up there eat haggis.
Yeah, I think haggis gets thrown out there a lot, and I'm guessing that hardly anybody eats it other than as a
tourist. That the tourists eat haggis.
Okay, here's another idiot wants haggis.
Haggis, bring him out a slice of
it. Here you go, Mr. Ringhausen.
Enjoy your haggis.
Well, you'd say it with a brogue.
Would you like?
Here's your haggis.
Well, you'll be having some blood sausage with that.
Feels like you're in a pub, doesn't it, Craig?
No.
I'll have a pint.
I feel like I'm on the set of So I Married an Axe Murderer.
When you're in the military and you're going to some other city you've never been to, right?
Can we pump the brakes on that? I was in the Air Force.
Okay. Air Force.
Well, you didn't ever land?
I said the military. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Air Force is the military. I said qualify. Army earlier, but military. You know, and you're a kid from the farm, you're from fresh out of the county, and you're going to some foreign country for the first time. Do they have like a liaison who brings everybody aside, says, okay, now before you go into Bangkok the first time, here's a few things you should know? Or do they just say, have at it, boys?
There's an intelligence briefing that lets you know a lot of that stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yep. And let you know of places that are off limits to GIs and things like that.
And others that should be.
And how many people actually follow those rules once you're turned loose?
You generally find out who follow the rules because the other ones...
Those in sick bay.
They're all coming back getting penicillin shots.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
So, like,
but
what
it's
I'm
not
saying,
just for that. Sometimes what I'm saying GIs will get jumped in certain CD places, so they just tell them to stay away from there so they don't...
Like when you go to London, they say, don't be making fun of their accents while you're sitting at the table.
We get a don't be an ugly American... briefing almost every time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's all out the window now.
Yeah, well.
You can't, you know, show a force. You can't have more than like 3 or 4 people walking together.
Oh, really?
Or yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because they consider that a show of force in a lot of countries. So
like if you're in uniform.
They discourage you to, you know, pair up in groups of 2 or 3 and, you know, you can stay close, but don't. You be together.
What about holding hands?
It's not
like you don't have a whole squad or unit.
Stop it! No. Go ahead, Rick.
Like going into a bar and say, "We own this bar tonight. Everybody else out."
No. The Marines
is that what you envision?
Military's like
being the military's
like. Well, Larry Clunk was in. What was he in? The Marines.
Yeah,
I assume that's the way he operated.
Well, he may have, but I don't know that it's. Recommended. I don't see that being your style, right?
Well, not me. No, I would be the lieutenant going along telling him not to do that.
Uh-huh.
I'd be the lieutenant that got locked in the closet before everybody.
I think that's more accurate. So, when you traveled around the world in your airplane...
Flying an airplane.
Flying around.
Yeah.
And then occasionally landing different places. What was the most interesting place you ever went?
Denmark. Right down here in the basement.
Denmark.
Other than this.
Batch Town.
Denmark. Denmark. What was cool about Denmark?
The ladies.
Ah.
They were very beautiful. And just I was like there during World Cup.
Just like you'd see on the bridge.
There was like an alley of bars, and we hung out there and drank. And there was, it was like.
It was a magical night.
It was like Alaska, where it only gets dim for a couple hours at the time of the year that we were there. So
Denmark?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty high up there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's south of.
Trust me, it did not get dark. It only got dim for a few hours.
Denmark?
Yeah, bro.
You did. I don't know where you think you were, but that doesn't happen in Denmark.
Aalborg, Denmark is where I was.
Rick, we could see the Northern Lights from our house this year.
I didn't say you couldn't see the Northern Lights. I'm saying it doesn't get. It's not like it, the sun never sets in Denmark. You think the sun never sets in Edinburgh? That's south. That's north of Denmark.
I don't know what to tell you. I just know that there was 2 weeks that I was there, and that's the way it was.
I bet you didn't see the light for 2 weeks. I'll grant you that.
What? Wow. I think you're being a little judgmental, Rick.
Well, you said I was wrong. I don't like that.
Oh, okay.
You know,
that's all coming around.
And I'm not.
I'll agree with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That didn't happen.
Exotic foods?
I'm not a step outside of my comfort zone kind of guy.
Oh, my God. Did you go to France, eat some escargot?
Did you go to India and eat monkey brains?
No. I ate pepper steak in France during the mad cow scare, and my steak was a little bloody.
I guess.
It's about as risky as I got, I guess.
And you brought it back around to the blood topic. Well done.
Thanks.
You eat a bloody steak? You eat?
Yes.
Rare? Huh? Yeah. You eat your meat rare?
I like meat, mid-rare, but...
Yeah, any meat. You want chicken rare? Make my... I'd like fried chicken, but I'd like it rare.
Let me preface that
they
with
bring
steak.
You bring you your chicken, and it's sitting in a little pool of, like, pinkish liquid. You're cool with that?
No, I'm going to pass on that.
What about your pork? You ever have trichinosis? You'd think twice about that.
Yeah, nah.
How does trichinosis manifest itself?
I don't even know what trichinosis is.
So you get those worms in your muscles, I think.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Does salmonella not come from Oh, that's chicken, isn't it?
Pretty much anything
that's raw,
gone bad, yeah, you can get salmonella. It doesn't have to come from a salmon.
No, you can get it from birds,
almost
reptiles.
Any fish.
We didn't even talk about botulism when we talked about the apocalypse either.
Why?
From canned food? You got to watch out for that in the apocalypse.
Canned food will last forever.
Okay, if we're reverting back to the last week's show, you're a military guy. Didn't they give you survivalist training?
Like dump you out in Alaska and say, and work give you your some, way back so, to like, America?
So backpack full of hardtack and go out there and live on that?
I think I forgot to tell you, I was in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah, the Air Force.
Well, you jump out of planes. We're going down, men. Put on your parachutes.
When you're in the Air Force, you know, and your job was, when you're in the Air Force, your job was to, what, like grease the tires on the airplanes? Something like that?
Ground equipment mechanic.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Do they require that every single guy in the Air Force could land the airplane if they had to?
No.
Well, I think they should.
Everybody has their own job.
Okay. Did you go up in a plane?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't jump out of it.
Was it one of those Spirit of America?
Did they give you the option?
No.
Like one of those stealth bombers?
No, but I was in a plane that refueled one, if that makes any difference.
Oh, that's pretty cool. The stealth bombers, they really fly out of Missouri all the way to the other side of the world.
I saw one yesterday.
Was Johnson refueling it?
He's out there in his coveralls. He's working on it.
He's sitting out there like Slim Pickens guiding it down.
Woohoo! Nobody knows what that movie sold. Nobody knows. Tell them so they can look it up on the internet.
Doctor Strangelove and how I Learn to love the bomb and something.
He rides it down.
Yeah, Slim Pickens rides the bomb down. The music at the start of this, did you know what that was? Colonel Bogey's March. You know what that's from?
Nope.
Bridge Over River Kwai.
Well, I wasn't listening.
Oh. I'm glad I spent so much time putting these intros together. You don't even listen to them. That was Bridge Over the River Kwai. It was all you do to keep from whistling.
Excellent movie.
With your mouth full of crackers.
Yeah. Gotcha.
What? I thought we did pretty good. Whistle. I thought we did pretty good.
Right?
Yeah, you did.
He's just sneering.
No.
That's because he can't whistle.
I know. I tell you, it was so good. I'm picturing you guys in a prison camp.
What time is it?
Time to quit.
Is it that time?
Yes, we're over.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Craig it out.
And Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like bloody chicken, but it's not. And by Uncle Den's Blood Sausage. Bloody hell. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator, Craigadile and Alligator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production. Accept no substitutes. No, because there aren't any.